on Monday, January 18th. Join us in celebrating the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in this day-long virtual gathering that will include an historic tour, David Ruggles Center, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., convocation with panelists and a keynote speaker from 12 noon to 1 p.m., community workshops, and opportunities to get involved in social justice work from 1 to 4 p.m. The event is free and open to all. Go to theresistancecenter.org to get the link.
And you're listening to Out There. It is Tuesday, January 12th, I think. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring? I think so. So for today's show, I'm going to finish the interview that I had with Ethan Tupelo, who's a trash hauler with Pedal People and also a trash studier. He's writing his book, also known as his, doctorate or something like that, about the trash, the waste hauling system and all that. I've played the interview with Ethan for the last two Tuesdays, but I've got a little bit left that I haven't finished up. But honestly, I could just like chase him around with a microphone on his route for days and just keep playing every Tuesday the report from Ethan. Also, I want to play a bunch of things today. Regarding Martin Luther King Jr. Day coming up next week, because it will come up on a Monday, and my next show won't be till after that. And so I'm glad the announcement went out a minute ago about all the events happening. I guess they're all virtual. I was wondering if there would be the walk around Florence, you know, the outside event to the historic places like the Sojourner Truth statue and the David Ruggles Museum and all that, but don't quote me, but I didn't see that was happening in person. If anyone knows it is, please call me here at the studio, 585-1033, and I will announce it on the air. But before I go to Ethan's interview, I'm going to play a song. This is Jay Flex with A Change to Come.
Here we are in this day and age, still lost in a state of confusion. Why is it only tragedy that brings harmony among the people of this nation? We must learn to break this cycle of hate and disrespect among our brothers and sisters. And we must stop asking the question why and start spreading the message of one love.
My heroes catching three or four through their car door. They blast on them, hit the gas on them, last call. A bullet make a life shatter like a glass jaw. Look like the devil getting just what he asked for. When the gas draw, they wanna blame it on the gangs, but it's a bigger picture. Cause while we steady dying, somebody getting richer. Listen to what I'm spitting. Who you think benefiting? While all these heads splitting, they money getting. See, the gangbang ain't all about the red and blue. Cause some of these corporations is gangsters too. They rub you out in a minute, getting greedier and greedier, buying out major labels and pimping the media, orchestrating beef between the West and East. Kill a superstar, blow up his next release. We got to put them straps down, cause if you let them state it, every death in Black America is gang related. Yeah,
a change is gonna come to our lives.
Younger seeds, they're showing white so they won't reach these penitentiaries. Cause over the year, that's what the folks want us all to be. Just at least when I was young, I wanted to be a thug. Hang on the corner, smoke my weed and try to sell my drugs. And show no love in 97, all this has to change. So many murder behind unnecessary petty games. It's all a shame, doing crimes as a pastime. Trying my best to stay alive, it's all that's on my mind. I hit my knees and drop a heavy tear and ask the Lord, please let me make it through this struggle even though it's hard. Jealousy got us hating, wanting to kill each other though. Whatever happened to the saying that we all are bros? Keep it up and best believe you all will finally see. It's gang related, so you best to let the killing cease. Now rest in peace.
A change is gonna come to our lives.
Change
to come. You reach the point.
rise up and stop letting the devil tempt me. Using materialism and jealousy to pimp me. Live by the gun, die by the gun, to put it simply. It's getting shaded, they got me mad like rabies. Headed for Hades, selling they soul for a Mercedes and fly latest. All this dirt being done ain't gang related. We got to take our former glory, y'all reinstated.
People are in trouble in America. As a matter of fact, people in trouble throughout the earth. We have been turned into a force of death and destruction on ourselves. We were never meant to be trapped in this darkness, but there's always light in the midst of the darkness. If you know where to find it, nothing is impossible. If you know who you were, you don't want to be anything but who you are. We have one chance, but one cause, and that's to find one love.
But I wanna make a change. It's gonna come to
That's Jay Flex, A Change to Come. The key lyric from that song that caught my eye was, "Tell me how many Haiti bottles I gotta empty before I wise up and stop letting the devil tempt me, using materialism to jealousy to pimp me." Yeah, I came across that song when I was looking for songs about materialism. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. One little story before I go to Ethan's interview. So I think on last week's show, I had mentioned that, so one of my jobs is to empty the downtown trash barrels in downtown Florence. It's a contract that Tuttle People, that I'm part of, has with the city of Northampton. So we empty all the trash barrels in both downtown Northampton and downtown Florence. The Florence ones, we just empty like twice a week. And the last like 3 weeks, I'd been emptying a particular barrel on Main Street, on North Main in Florence. It had had like 30 pounds of cat litter in it each time. And a couple of weeks ago, I went to empty it, and I tried to pull it out, and again, it was like this big black bag full of cat litter. And I had to like tip the entire barrel in this really heavy wire cage over on the ground to drag that thing out. And I just like, I screamed when I saw that it was there again. I was just so, so gutturally frustrated. But that day, I took the entire barrel and can, well, the plastic barrel and the cage, and I took the whole thing away. And I put it on the trailer, on the bike trailer, and I took it to my house, just trying to interrupt the cycle. And then I made a wooden lid sort of cover for it with a smaller opening where you can just put, like, smaller, like, cups and things in it. And then I wrote on top of the wooden lid that I cut out, I wrote, "Please, no household trash." And in little letters I put, "And especially no cat litter. Thanks, Petal People." So I put that back in place, last week. And then yesterday when I went to empty the barrel for the first time since I'd put it in place, someone had black spray painted over what I'd written on the wooden lid. Which I guess it means they must have gotten the message, and there was no cat litter in it. Anyway, tales of trash. So this interview with Ethan Tupelo, who's a pedal person, coworker of mine, and doing his doctorate on, cooperatives and the trash hauling system. I shouldn't speak for that. Sorry, Ethan. The last part of the interview that I haven't played yet, when we start out, I don't know exactly what we're talking about, except for, you know, like, trash.
To continue that overall system.
Yeah. Yeah. I certainly feel like an enabler in many days.
Yeah. Yeah, because in some ways it's impossible to think about something as being single-use or disposable or whatever term we're going to call it without having a system of waste removal. Like, yeah. It just conceptually doesn't even really make sense. Like, we can't think of that coffee cup as something that is disposable if there is no disposal system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One more thing that we haven't really talked about is the whole cooperative nature of Pedal People. Do you want to say
give a little shout out to cooperatives.
Yeah, and that is one of, I think, the yet another potential contradiction that exists within what all pedal people is doing. But there are lots of different ways that being a cooperative makes pedal people, what it is as a successful business. Just comparing the average pay for refuse haulers based on the Bureau of Labor Statistics were extremely high paid. And I think that's entirely a result of being a cooperative where we don't have bosses, we don't have a separate management. It's basically we're splitting up the work amongst ourselves and paying ourselves to do that. So everything that would be sucked away to profits is, for outside owners, we basically just keep ourselves and distribute to workers. And it also puts us a lot more in charge of our daily working conditions. I think so many aspects of pedal people come down to that phrase, rider discretion, where it's kind of like, well, if you encounter something that a customer leaves out and it's really, unsorted, like you can deal with it and give them an extra charge, or you can just like refuse to pick it up and tell them, no, you got to sort it out correctly. And, we'll come back later when you have. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, well, you don't feel safe going out because of the snowfall, like ultimately it's up to you. And then you deal with trying to do the makeup pickups and stuff like that. So, And it's potentially an aspect of thinking through what does greater control of our infrastructure look like to actually have something like changes to components of our infrastructure. We probably also need to think about, again, these underlying political things of like who exactly is in control, who exactly is making those decisions, and having the workers make the decisions themselves is one potential answer to that.
So how many years have you been doing pedal people?
If we include that time, let's see, before, I think I've been a member of Pedal People or a worker for 4 years now, maybe going on to five. If we include that time from that first class that I took, I think I'm closer to six or something.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
that.
I think you should count from when you first started coming to meetings.
Okay, and in that case, I think we're just about at 6 years. Yeah.
How long do you think you'll keep on doing it?
Well, my dissertation chairperson has basically said a few times in a joking way of like, one day you're just going to walk in here and be like, actually, I'm done with the university. I'm just going to be a pedal person now. So I think that's always, I wouldn't call that a danger. I'd call it maybe a possibility. I guess we'll see. Like, especially with the pandemic, it's thrown off so many things with the whole university system. And, I basically right now get paid to ride my bike around, which I think is a pretty good deal overall. We'll see what the future holds.
I remember when we first started Pedal People 18 years ago, people would say to me, oh, yeah, well, it may be nice now, but what are you going to do when you get older? Guess we'll see.
And is that still your answer? I mean,
yeah, still my answer. I don't know. I'll do it as long as I can, as long as it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, because people have asked me that also. It's like, oh yeah, you're saying it's more sustainable in all these different ways, but like, if a worker, gets burnt out within 5 years, that's not very sustainable. And I'm like, no, some people have done this a very long time. We don't quite know what that limit is. I mean, I think we should probably start at least having those general conversations at this point. Cause like, you can definitely do this job for a long time. Like, I don't know if you're going to be doing the same amount of work as you are now 20 years from now.
Yeah.
So we should probably start thinking about that.
I'll be selling bikes in Trinidad.
Yeah. Right.
some sort of, anyway, yeah. bike repairer. But awesome. Well, I want to tell listeners what an amazing cooperator Ethan is. I'm really glad that you joined Pedal People. Like you saw when you were, you saw at those first few meetings, you got a sense of things. And then I'm really glad that you wanted to become a member because you bring a lot to the business, especially in terms of like seeing big picture and understanding and remembering processes and documenting things. And so, yeah, I'm really glad you're part of keeping the boat afloat.
Well, thank you. I am very glad that you all have had me all this time and have been willing to put up with me mm-hmm. scribbling stuff down in my notebook this entire time and wondering what the hell is he writing. But yes, thank you. I will save this part of the broadcast for a reference for a future job.
All right, thank you.
I did three.
That was Ethan Tupelo, a pedal person. He lives in Northampton. That interview was done, I think it was done on maybe like December 27th, maybe, 2020. And if you want to hear the rest of the interview soon, it will be on the archives of Out There, which is weatherbeard.com/outtherearchive, not to be confused with the podcast that I have not updated, which is weatherbeard.com/outthere. The weatherbeard.com/outtherearchive is just the bare bones, no description, just a link. All right, thanks for listening to Out There. They want to play Angelique Kidjo with Aduma. And this is Angelique Kidjo. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I want to announce that today, January 12th, would have been Ed Russell's 59th birthday. Ed was a founding member of Valley Free Radio. He also helped Francis Crowe broadcast Democracy Now! Before it got carried by WMUA and Valley Free Radio. And Steve Russell, Ed's brother, just made a donation to VFR in memory of Ed. And we just, want to remember Ed, all his efforts to get Valley Free Radio going, all that. Yay, Ed. Next on Valley Free Radio, I'm going to play an interview, part of an interview that I did with Simbrit Paskins and Stephanie Mary Show of 413 Stay Woke, Stay Active. This interview is from back in July, but I think things are still pretty similar. It's a 413 Stay Woke, Stay Active is a Facebook group that you can check out to see what they're up to currently.
I did 3 ethnic studies classes and 2 traditional English classes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess when we start, Simbrit's talking about, I'll just let her talk.
And I loved them. My traditional English class was 11th grade. I loved them because 11th graders are just super cute, mm-hmm. like humans. But the feeling was always so different. Like teaching ethnic studies does something for the teacher too, that other teachers in traditional like classes don't get to experience. So I always talk about like moments where I wanted to do, have you heard of the restorative justice like circles that people do? I wanted to do that. I'd kind of seen it, but I had no clue how to facilitate it. So I tried to do it in my biggest, loudest, most challenging class. Uh-huh. And it totally failed. We were all disappointed. And that's one of the things, like being able to laugh at yourself and be like, all right, guys, I messed this one up. And one of my students who was in that class was a peer leader through ethnic studies and through the Palante Restorative Justice Program. And she was like, Miss, if you want, like, I could like come back and show you how to do this. Uh-huh. So she like during lunch, she ate her lunch quickly and she talked to her last 3 period teachers and told them like what she wanted to do and they gave her permission. So for the last 3 periods of the day, she stayed in the class. I sat down at a desk and like kept time and she like facilitated these circles so that we could process some work that we had been doing. And like that's my favorite experience. Mm-hmm. And that was just before COVID hit. So it was just like this moment and then like COVID.
That was a nice like going out gift to deal with the world.
Yeah, it was awesome. And that same young lady, Kiara Krogan, I'm hyping her up because she's amazing and you all are gonna hear about her. That same student spoke at the 1,000-plus person march in Holyoke without fear, without a doubt, without hesitation. I mean, like, the night before, I was like, Kiara, are you, like, do you need anything? Are you good? And she was like, no, miss, I'll send you my speech in the morning. Like, it's good. And she, like, showed up and took the mic and shared her truth. You know what I mean? And, like, Steph and I are always talking about, imagine if we could help young people to be that way from when they're like 10 years old.
Yeah.
You know, like what does a brown, empowered, like 10-year-old look like if that's what a 16-year-old could look like through ethnic studies, anti-racist education? What does a community of people who are in their like, you know, age 35 to like 55, what do those people look like if we tell them like it's not too late? Like, you can still have this education, too. You can still, like, be empowered in this way, too. So
that ties into, like, what we want to do.
Exactly.
That ties into, like, 413 Stay Woke, Stay Active. It's getting it. It's giving it to people, you know, not just only if you're in an ethnic studies program. Right. But, like, this should be, like, something that people can get just in everyday life. Mm-hmm. And no matter what age you are, like, people deserve to have that sense of family. They deserve to feel like they're heard. They deserve to learn about their history. They deserve to feel like they are empowered. And it's honestly, it's so much like ethnic studies is so much. The practice of ethnic studies is like so mixed into how we're like running 413 Stay Woke, Stay Active. Mm-hmm. As you're talking, I'm like, wow, this is kind of like just what we want to do.
Yeah,
because you're never too old or too young or too anything to start.
Do you want to share more, Stephanie, about your journey? Your like, how you got?
Yeah, lots of stuff.
How
to
you
say
felt
about
more empowered
your
or got involved?
I don't know. I'm not used to talking about myself. I guess. I mean, I've always been, like, a very vocal person. I've always been very, like, I always, my mom has really taught me to, like, advocate for myself and for the people I care about. I think I've seen a little bit of this in myself, like, all throughout life. I never knew that I would, like, end up being, like, an organizer and, like, trying to, like, end racism. But, yeah, I don't know. I think just, I've had a lot of experiences where I've met so many different people. I've met people from many different countries, many different walks of life, backgrounds, class, all that stuff. And, like, I genuinely, like, my whole life, I've just been a person that, like, just loved people. Mm-hmm. Like, even if, you know, it may seem as though, like, even, like, the worst of people, like, you know, mm-hmm. you still love them just because they're humans. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of us are products of our own environment, and it's not always our fault. Our behavior is not always our fault. Mm-hmm. But our failure to, like, address our behavior is our fault, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? So I just always give people benefit of the doubt. And, but, so I think throughout life, like, if you look at my old Facebook statuses and stuff like that, or just conversations that I've had, people always tell me I like to debate. I don't think I like to debate. I just feel like when something's right and it's, like, for humans or something, like, mm-hmm. I just won't back down. Like, if I'm defending something that's right. So it's kind of weird to see, like, my process of life and how I've kind of always just been this person that, like, stands, like, you know, I come from, like, every bit of marginalized group you can think of. Like, I'm a lesbian, I'm black, I'm a woman, whatever else. And I've always stuck up for every part of me and in others. So I think my life has always just been me interacting and meeting people that I grow to love, that society's told me not to love. Society's told me, this person's not normal, this person's not this, this person's not that, but then I meet them and I'm like, wait, they're great, what do you mean? Yeah. So I think it's kind of driven my passion to, like, kind of speak for the underdog, even though I am an underdog. Mm-hmm. Speak for the underdog, give them a voice. And, you know, right now, you know, we're focusing on Black lives. Like, you know, like I was starting to say on my Facebook, people are like, oh, you're always arguing on Facebook. I'm like, no. But if I see somebody saying something really homophobic, I'm going to step in there. If I see somebody saying something really racist, I'm going to step in there. And I get blocked a lot on Facebook. I like count them up now. But yeah, so it's all kind of tying into my work now. But now it's just like on a bigger scale. So it's like Black people need help. They always have. Right now there's a movement for it. And it's like, this is who... This is what I have to do now. But, like, I've always seen, like, even I've always worked with youth. I've done some teaching, and I've been a nanny, and I work with adults with disabilities. And, like, you know, the same way people with disabilities, you know, they need people to stand up for them. Children need people to stand up for them. Black people need people to stand up for them. Like, that's just been a part of who I've been and what I do, you know what I mean? I put myself in a position where I can give access, you know what I mean? Or I can open that door, or I can raise that awareness. So yeah, I don't have, I'm not a, I wouldn't call myself a teacher, but just as a musician, as a person who works with youth, as a person who just works with people, it just looks like my whole life kind of led up to me learning to love people enough to, like, do whatever it takes to make sure that everybody else loves them too, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I didn't know where I was going with that, but it kind
of... No, that's great. No, I think that's one other thing I wanted to sort of touch on and reiterate that you all said was when you were talking about self-care, just emphasizing the importance of just love for one another and how that sustains us. Like, you know, mm-hmm. we have all these cerebral, you know, things about how the system is messed up and we got to change things, but feeling love and connection between one another is huge. I've also been thinking about, like, so I've heard a lot of criticisms lately of, like, Black Lives Matter and the protests, and there's, I've heard, like, criticisms, like, the Black Lives Matter activists are just too harsh.
It's like, the people don't even know.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I heard we're pushing the gay agenda.
All kinds of accusations.
I recently heard that one.
Yeah.
But, you know, none of that's true to my experience of any of the protests or anything I've been in. Well, minimal. You know, there's always some faction of this, that, or the other. But the underlying core is just, like, trying to work together and care about each other.
Yeah. I think that comes from just fear. Mm-hmm. So racism comes from, you know, trying to protect white supremacy, or trying to protect the power that mm-hmm. that people have. If you know that you have done everyone dirty, if you know that you have stolen land from indigenous people, stolen humans from their land, and brought them here to build the land that you now call yours, and enslaved them and beat them and did everything else to them, there's always going to be some weird, like, paranoia that, like, mm-hmm. everybody's going to rise up and, like, take mm-hmm. this power that you stole mm-hmm. in the first place. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but so that us being called terrorists and, you know, what, we're, like, not, we're, like, anti, like, we're, like, against God. We're, like, godless people. And
we're anti-everything.
We're just, you know, we're, like, demons, I guess, in their eyes. That all comes from fear. We are not saying down with white people, let's enslave them, and we're saying, like, hey, can we just have a little bit of that? Like, can we have a little bit of what we built? You know, and there's nothing wrong with asking for your right.
You're listening to an interview with Stephanie Marichaux and Simbrit Paskins, founders of the Facebook group 413 Stay Woke, Stay Active. Stephanie Marichaux was also the Gazette and United Way's Person of the Year for 2020. This is Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring, and this is Common.
Time to practice, born on the blacklist. Told I'm below average, a life with no cabbage. That's no money if you from where I'm from. Funny, I just want some of your son. Dark clouds seem to follow me. Alcohol that my pops swallow bottle me. No apology, I walk with a bold on my shoulder. It's a cold war, I'm a colder soldier. Hold the same fight that made Martin Luther the king. I ain't using it for the right thing. In between lean and the fiends, hustle and the schemes, I put together pieces of a dream. I still have one. Images of me getting much clearer, dear self. I wrote a letter just to better my soul. If I don't express it, then forever I hold inside. I'm from a side where we out of control. Rap music in the hood played a fatherly role. My story like yours, yo, gotta be told. Trying to make it from a gangster to a godlier role. Red scrolls are stole slaves and Jewish people in cold cage. Hate has no color or age. Flip the page. Now my race became freedom. Right dreams in the dark, they far, but I can see them. I believe in heaven more than hell. Blessings more than jail. In the ghetto, let love prevail. With a story to tell, my eyes see the glory. And well, the world waiting for me to yell, I have a dream.
I got a dream.
My dream is to be, my dream is to be.
That's A Dream from Common, produced by Will I Am for the upcoming, for the film Freedom Riders. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Well, here's another song that I want to play, Etana, I'm Not Afraid.
I see them coming after my soul, wanting to take control. Wanna give me lies, wanna give me blame, wanna give me all the material things. I am talking about what the world has to offer. Girl, what you doing, don't you see? What they have done to Bedward and Marcus, Jesus and all of the prophets. But I'm not afraid, no. Cause I'm protected by the Most High One. They don't mind when you fall behind. I can't pay your bills on time. Prostituting and standing in a them government line. No, and they don't mind when you waste your time coming up with some stupid lines, influencing the youth. Them for snot a line, I take a life. And they don't mind when you lock up in jail, can't get no bail, sentence for life. I can't see your youth and strife. No, they don't mind. Cause I'm protected by the Most High One. Yeah. Don't be foolish. Oh no. Hey. Thinking they don't know your name. I see them coming after my soul, wanting to take control. Wanna give me locks, wanna give me bling, wanna give me all the material things. I am talking about what the world has to offer. Girl, what you doing, don't you see? What they have done to Bedward and Marcus, Jesus and all of the prophets. But I'm not afraid, no. Cause I'm protected by the Most High One. They don't mind when you fall behind and can't pay your bills on time. Prostituting and standing in a them government line. No, and they don't mind when you waste your time coming up with some stupid lines, influencing the youth. Them for snot a line, I take a life. When you're locked up in jail, can't get no bail, sentence for life. I can't see your youth and strife. No, they don't mind. Protected by the Most High One.
Etana, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP 103.3 FM in Northampton, and also streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. I want to play a little excerpt from one of Martin Luther King's speeches. This is April 3rd.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges, because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say, we aren't gonna let any dogs or water hoses turn us around. We aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
That was from April 3rd, 1968. Another clip there that I wanted to play. This is from 1965.
We all know about violence, certainly we know about it in Western civilization and all over the world. But I still contend that violence in this struggle will create many more social problems than it will solve. That is something about nonviolence that disarms the opponent. It exposes his moral defenses, it weakens his morale, and at the same time it works on his conscience. If he doesn't beat you, wonderful. If he beats you, you develop the quiet courage of accepting blows without retaliating. If he doesn't put you in jail, wonderful. Nobody with any sense loves to go to jail. But if he puts you in jail, you go in that jail and transform it from a dungeon of shame to a haven of freedom and human dignity. Even if he tries to kill you, you develop the inner conviction that there are some things so dear, some things so precious, some things so eternally true, that they are worth dying for. And if a man has not discovered something that he will die for, he isn't fit to live.
That was from July 1965, Martin Luther King Jr. speaking at Syracuse University. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Out There airs Tuesdays from 3 until 4, followed by Madness Radio up at 4 and Democracy Now! At 5. And this is Marvin Gaye.
Has anybody here seen my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone? Oh, he freed a lot of people, but it seems a good die young. Yeah, I just looked around and he was gone. Has anybody here seen my old friend John? Can you tell me where
but it seems the good die young. Yeah, I just looked around and he was gone. Oh yeah. Has anybody here seen my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seems the good die young, yeah. Looked around and he was gone.
That Charlie Parker was the big motivator of Martin Luther King Jr. So this is Charlie Parker with Now's the Time.
Thank you.
was Charlie Parker. Madness Radio comes up at 4 o'clock. Thanks for listening to Out There here on Valley Free Radio. And I want to go out with some Aretha Franklin. Someday we'll all be free. Sorry for the technical difficulties. I mean, the mental difficulties are not really technical at all, only in terms of if the mind is technical. This is Aretha Franklin.
Sugar me free.
Franklin, thanks for listening to Out There. Before Madness Radio comes on at 4, just wanted to remind people of the Martin Luther King Day events coming up on Monday. You can check out the resistancecenter.org for information about that. Also, another little shout out to Ed Russell, whose birthday, he would have been 59 today. And when I first started Out There, Ed would call in regularly and just really always appreciated his encouragement and his support. So thanks, Ed, for what you gave to make this, to get people on the air and keep this station going, and all your contributions to community.